1 month ago today, Governor Chris Sununu issued an executive order declaring a state of emergency in New Hampshire due to the coronavirus. Since then, the governor has issued more than 24 additional emergency orders, touching nearly every aspect of life in the state, shutting all public schools, closing non-essential businesses, and encouraging Granite Staters to stay at home unless necessary. The governor joins us now to discuss progress on fighting COVID-19 here in New Hampshire. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning. I honestly can't believe you said it was a month. I didn't realize that. It honestly seems like it's been about a year. I can't believe it's only been 4 weeks.
It certainly does. Yeah, it does certainly feel like that, I think, for all of us. I want to start by asking about nursing homes first and foremost and the risk there. We know of COVID-19-related deaths tied to 3 long-term care homes here in New Hampshire. State health officials have said COVID-19 is present in at least 10 others. Why not disclose every infection tied to nursing homes, as other states have, given the risk to those who live there?
Sure. So, you know, what we try to do with the long-term care facilities, first off, they are of one of the highest risks. We know that, not just having one case there, but it can spread very, very rapidly. So when there's an official outbreak, and the Department of Public Health really classifies what's an outbreak, and usually more than one or two or three, depending on where it is, who has it, and how fast it's spreading, we then make those facilities public. The fear about if just one individual, maybe one worker or something, tests positive for COVID, if they were able to be isolated and there's truly not an outbreak situation, you know, you don't want to essentially out that person, right? We always talk about that indirect exposure of that individual in terms of who they are, and, you know, you have to be careful with HIPAA. You also don't want to spread a panic where there's not necessarily a need to panic. So I think they're just taking an even-keeled approach in terms of how they do it. I appreciate the approach, and it's something I support public health in.
Is there some kind of criteria, some kind of number that's a tipping point where that disclosure becomes public?
I think it's a case-by-case basis because each facility is of a different size. They're all run maybe a little bit differently, and the rapidity at which it could potentially be spreading also comes into play. So you have to look at all the different variables, I think, in terms of determining whether it's, quote-unquote, an outbreak. And when it is, we'll make that public and let people know as quickly as possible.
What are the testing policies, Governor, in nursing homes? Once there is an infection that's been detected, is every resident and staffer tested at that point?
So given that we've been able to increase our testing over the past couple of weeks, we've had a lot more success in trying to get even asymptomatic folks, employees and residents of a lot of the long-term care facilities tested. I don't think we've gotten through all of them yet. I was talking to the CEO of Riverwood, for example, down in Exeter. They're working very closely with Convenient MD to get all of their staff tested, again, just to get that isolation. Now, you have to be careful with that a little bit because if you're asymptomatic, you could come up with a false negative. They could say you don't have it, but if you're not expressing symptoms sometimes, you potentially could, and the test won't necessarily show it. So you got to be careful with that a little bit. It's not an end-all, be-all. And also, when you test negative as a worker or as a resident, it doesn't mean they're negative forever, right? You know, they could catch it tomorrow. So that's why it's so important to isolate those individuals very quickly. So as we ramp up testing, we're having more ability to do that. We'd love to ramp up testing 10 times, 100 times of what it is today. A lot of the new tests, as I think a lot of folks heard, we got some new testing devices last week, but really only minimal ability to use them because the federal government dictates how many of the, quote, cartridges that you have to do the test, and we weren't given many. We think we're going to get a few hundred more this week, and that'll open up that opportunity for those types of locations, but we're not there yet.
Well, I did want to ask you about that. In general, are we testing enough? Do we have the data we need to really get a hold of this?
No one in America is testing enough. I mean, for me, enough would be when I could put 1.35 million tests for 1.35 million people, isolate the positives and the negatives, start opening things back up, and you really start to contain the virus and mitigate that viral spread. We're not even remotely close to that, unfortunately. But we have a variety of different tests, right? We have the public health lab does one type of test. Dartmouth-Hitchcock is ramping up their capacity to do another type of test. Some hospitals have something called the Cepheid test, which is on-the-spot test. We have these new rapid devices. So we have 4 or 5 different means to do it in different areas. Convenient MD has been a huge partner. They're doing a lot of the commercial testing and sampling for us here in the state now, which is great. And then you have all the exterior labs. If your provider, for example, says, yeah, you know, given your symptoms, you should really be tested, they take the test, they send it to a commercial lab out of state. Those labs are great, and they're doing amazing work. They're doing like tens to hundreds of thousands of tests a day, but there is still a 10 to 14-day backlog on them. So that's, makes it really difficult for those individuals. So my point is, even where we think we have, quote, enough testing, there's still a lot of backlog. It takes a lot of manpower. We're using outside labs as fast as we can, but we're still a ways away from anyone being satisfied with the amount of testing we're doing in the state.
Well, let's talk about the state's health infrastructure in general. You established a $50 million fund last month to help healthcare providers struggling financially. The first grant went to LRGH Healthcare about a week ago, more than $5 million. There's a big demand, though, beyond that. For instance, Catholic Medical Center estimates it's losing millions each month because of this, because of COVID-19. Other hospitals report big losses as well. Is $50 million enough?
The quick answer is no. The $50 million was established to make sure those that were really on the brink of closure didn't have to close. And so LRGH and a few others, we're trying to mitigate the number of furloughs. A lot of the healthcare facilities are furloughing their staff. We're trying to mitigate that and minimize that as much as we can. So that's really where those first dollars are going. Overall, the healthcare facilities in the state are losing approximately somewhere in the tune of $150 million a month because they're not doing elective surgeries. They're not doing certain procedures that they otherwise would be doing. It's absolutely devastating economically. The federal government has set up a couple different rounds of funding. One just came out last week, and hospitals in particular in New Hampshire got a lot of money, tens of millions of dollars was going to be released to them last week from the federal government. There's another fund that's being set up that healthcare facilities and hospitals can apply into. It's like a $100 billion fund that they set up to get another round of funding there. Ours was created first, even way ahead of the federal government. I think we're the first state to do it as a backstop. We wanted the citizens to know those doors weren't be closed. Ultimately, will we as a state have to put more money in there? Yeah, possibly. We're going to do whatever we need to do to keep those doors open. We're hoping that the federal government's new fund, now that they've come in to backfill a little bit of what we're doing, will also help mitigate those efforts. But the big point here is long-term, healthcare and hospitals of this state are going to be losing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars over the next 4 to 6 months, depending on how fast things come back. So we're going to have to look very aggressively at getting things, quote, back to normal, at least within the hospital care. Like, can people go in for elective surgeries? Can we set up something where they can do it safely? There's not the fear of spread of COVID to allow those facilities to start, generating the revenue and doing the business that they need to be doing, not just for themselves, but to keep themselves viable for all the citizens and the next unknown, really. So it's a big issue. We're on the forefront of it, but we got a long way to go.
Well, what could that look like, Governor? Would some facilities possibly be opened up for elective surgeries, others not, depending on data on where cases are hot spots around the state?
It could be. We really don't know. We're looking at different models around the country. Some facilities will say, okay, this wing over there is the COVID wing and this over here is for elective surgery. Mm-hmm. Some states are looking at a model that says this hospital is the COVID hospital. These ones are open for elective and we put a lot of our funds to backstop the COVID hospital. I was talking to Senator Hassan about this just a couple nights ago. The senators, I think, have done a good job in Washington and also working with their counterparts nationally, as I have been with governors as well, to see what might work. But this is one of the first areas where I think we have to be aggressive about a model. And I'm not saying get it back to, quote, normal. I don't know if what we used to think is normal is going to be normal in any of these models going forward. But what can we do in a safe way that keeps the public health and interest protected, but get some of these healthcare facilities back on track? Because we're going to need them for the long haul.
You and the state epidemiologist, Ben Chan, said last week that measures like the stay-at-home order seems to be working to slow the spread. Is it possible that the state could lift that order anytime soon or other restrictions and then bring them back if infections pick up again in another wave later in the year?
Yeah, so anytime soon, no, probably not. I mean, soon being in the next couple of weeks, I don't see any way that can happen. I mean, while we seem to have hit a plateau, we're not dropping precipitously by any means. We're still hitting 30, 40, 50 cases a day, something like that on any given day. And we'll probably be bouncing around with these types of numbers for quite some time. So the stay-at-home order, we really look to the CDC to provide a lot of those recommendations. Not that we have to do exactly what the CDC advises or recommends, but we take what they're recommending and try to make sure it's working within our models. And I think that'll be in place at least for the short run. Long-term, we're going to look at other things. Can you get certain businesses back up and running under a new model that are using physical distancing, allowing remote purchases or something like that? For example, bookstores, right? A lot of bookstores are now coming back online because you you're buying your books over the phone or over the internet, and you're doing a curbside pickup with no cash transaction. It's a different model, but it's allowing a lot of facilities to stay open. What's the summer going to look like? Well, we've done a good job, I think, keeping our parks open, encouraging the social distancing. We have more staff out there helping to manage that. But as it gets hotter, we want those parks to be open, but in a safe manner. The beaches is a big one. I don't know how that would possibly work, to be honest. We have 4 or 5 different models. We're bringing the folks in from the seacoast, and we're bringing folks in from Massachusetts and Maine, right? What are they going to do? Because we're so regional in what happens here. If we open up one thing but Massachusetts doesn't, we're going to get an onslaught, whether it's golf courses or beaches or whatever it might be. And that's not necessarily what you want. Massachusetts is still peaking out with their numbers. I mean, they still have really, really high numbers that they're presenting. So we got to make sure we're not inviting that problem back into New Hampshire. So there's a lot of variables. Look, everyone's working on it. It's a 24-hour day job, I think, as everyone knows. But we got some dedicated people here. We got a great team up here helping to make a lot of these very tough decisions.
But the tourist season, beginning traditionally around Memorial Day, could look very different around here, I imagine.
I think tourist season is going to be incredibly different, and it's going to be rough. If you're in the tourism or hospitality industry, that industry, restaurants, hotels, tourism, have taken far and away the biggest hit when you look at the unemployment numbers or over any other industry. Over this summer, it's going to be really, really tough. Now, again, if there's models that we can open up and allow folks to open something up, but I don't know how you do that without encouraging the New Yorkers and the folks from downtown Boston to come up and fill up your mountains and your resort. Again, we want them to come up eventually, but not now. And frankly, this summer, and my guess is probably not this summer, because they're still going to be dealing with very serious issues down there. So that's where when we look at the economic relief that we have, or the possible next stimulus package we have, we're going to make a lot of investments based on where the need is. That's what it is. Where is the need most? As you mentioned, in the hospital, in the travel, tourism, restaurants, in manufacturing, in the retail businesses that have been shuttered. I mean, retail's taken a massive hit here. Is there a way that we can help support them? Mm-hmm. I think with the federal government and Senator Hassan and Shaheen, I think did a very good job on the federal side when they allowed this PPP program to go forward. It's had its hiccups, but it is moving forward. Hundreds of millions of dollars in short-term loans that ultimately could be forgiven for small businesses are already out the door. That's great. Those applications are in, and hopefully those funds will be released very soon by the federal government. So the feds are really stepping up on the federal side with the funds. It's our job to operationalize that into the areas of the most need. And so far, we've been successful, but there's a long way to go. A lot of money out there, but a long way to go.
Let's turn to education quickly, Governor. Students across the state have been learning remotely for a month. Schools closed under your order. How does the state plan to track schools and students' progress in the next year, given concerns about, the achievement gaps during this closure?
Sure. So when it comes to school, let's just focus a little bit on now to June 1st, right? Are we going to go back? I'll make a decision later this week. It doesn't look likely, to be honest. We're looking at a couple different models and whether they would work. Whether it's something that we could allow districts to decide. But my guess is that, most districts are committed to probably not going back. And as are we, we're just not at that point. So we haven't made that decision yet, but my guess is we're probably not going back. Given that, you have to look at the end of the year things, everything from spring sport to graduations and all that, how that is going to play out. We want to make sure folks are doing it safely. And there's some pretty innovative and interesting ideas about how to do that. Virtual prom, I saw that one. With a group out in Indiana, so a school's doing a virtual prom. So there's some innovative ways to get the end of the year done. But then who knows what the world is going to look like in July and August. And frankly, we'll have to take those decisions then a little bit. We obviously want to make sure those kids are going back to school in some fashion. It's very important. It's good.
Governor, I'm going to stop you there because I'm sorry we're running out of time, but I want to thank you so much for your time, and I hope we can talk again soon.
Anytime. Be well. Be safe.
Governor Chris Sununu, thanks so much.